The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
Sis, welcome to the houses, everybody. Especially welcome brand new baby Gwen.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Woohoo.
Yeah, we're Woo. Super excited.
That is fantastic.
It's been pretty crazy over here.
I'm sure it has. Probably.
I
want to
hear the story.
Yeah. Give us the tale. Just start from the beginning and walk us through.
Well, not the very beginning. Just the
labor
past
and delivery
week.
Beginning.
When a man and a woman are very in love. No. So Gwen, actually, her due date wasn't till Cinco de Mayo.
Which is an awesome due date.
Yeah. And we were looking forward to that. But 2.5 weeks early, on a Friday, Katie had contractions just all day. So we were like, oh, this could be any time. And then this past, I don't know what day it was.
We've lost all track.
Yeah, everything blends together. On
I think
April
it was Monday.
29th, which I think was a Wednesday, I woke up at 2 in the morning because Katie had suddenly, like, jumped and spread herself across me. And I thought she was trying to wake me up, but she was just in such pain that she woke me up. She was actually not trying to. And this was similar to how Farron came, because Farron came, her contractions started at 2 in the morning. So I was like, okay,
very
it's
nice.
2 in the morning. She's having painful contractions. I'm getting up. I'm getting changed. And Katie was like, well, we'll just see, you know. And I was like, well, I'm going to start packing the car until you tell me to go back to bed. So,
good thing.
Right. The contractions.
I know how this story goes. That's a good thing you start packing the car.
Yeah, the contractions just kept getting more intense. So I tried calling my sister to keep her on standby, but I couldn't get a hold of her. So I'm trying to call my sister. I'm trying to track these contractions because Katie's family wants to know. Like, they were following along in the app, but it wouldn't give me a share link. And it's like 2 in the morning. I'm trying to, like, pack the car, call my sister, track these contractions. And ultimately, Kay's like, oh, we need to go to their house because they're not answering their phone, their work phone, their house phone. Like, they've got like 3 or 4 phones. They're not answering any of them. We need to just go.
And this is to drop off Farron, right?
Yeah, just to drop off Farron because they're not allowing more than one person to be in the labor and delivery room.
Yeah.
And I couldn't just leave her with the nurses at the desk. I guess I could
have. Worst case, I'm sure people have done it.
So we're like, okay, we're just going to head out. So I grabbed Farron, gave her a bottle, finished packing the last few bags into the car, got Farron into the car. Kay was like, we need to just go to the hospital. I don't want to have this baby in the car.
Right.
So like, oh, okay. So I gave up on my sister, and I was like, who is the most dependable person that I know who might
or
be
who,
up?
So you who might answer their people. Phone? Or who might still be awake at this time because they stay up way too late watching TV because it's quarantine?
All of the above. So it helped out that these folks were the people I knew that lived closest to the hospital, other than Ben, but he doesn't live over there anymore. Anyway,
dropping the ball.
So I called Will, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I'll meet you at the hospital." So, That wasn't a very good Will impression, but
I was going to say, I don't think that's exactly how it went down.
I was going to say, I appreciated that I might have sounded like that, because I'm pretty sure that I rolled over and I was like, what? Why is my alarm going off at 2? Oh, weird. Ryan's calling me. And then Sarah was actually the one who was like, poof, awake, answer the phone.
Answer the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it worked out really well. We pulled into the hospital, and we didn't think, okay, the labor and delivery ward, the women's, not ministries, but women's health area, you're not going to be able to get in that door. You're going to have to go to the emergency room. We hadn't taken a tour of the facility because of the virus. So we're like, I've never had to go to the emergency room here. Where is it? And we looked around. We didn't see any signs. Well, it turns out I pulled through that lot like twice before I finally saw, oh, the sign is right there. It's just not lit. It's supposed to be lit, but the light's gone. So it was actually in the back of the building, which seems wrong to me. It seems like it should be the first thing you come to.
Right, makes sense.
But whatever. So I got to the emergency room. I dropped Katie off, and they were like, you know, what can I help you with? She's like, I'm having a baby.
You can help me with that. Oh,
yeah. Let me get you what do they call it?
Wheelchair.
Warm
wheelchair.
Blanket.
So they pull a wheelchair out and they're like, oh, all right, ma'am, please get in the wheelchair. She's like, I can't. I'm having a contraction. She's like writhing in the seat. They eventually got her into the chair, and I dropped her off, pulled over into the parking lot, and pulled Farron out and all of her bags, and then Will showed up. It was, like, awesome.
Yay!
Yep.
Right on time. Perfect. So I just put Farron with her car seat into Will's car and threw the bags in there and then ran inside.
And like, ran. You yeah. ran. Yeah, that's the fastest I've ever all. Seen Ryan run.
Yeah.
Wait for me, baby!
Yeah. So I got into the building, and they had to screen me, my temperature, and give me a mask and everything. And then they led me upstairs, and I got to the labor and delivery ward just as Katie was being released from the initial room where they like, I don't know, check
the
out.
The triage room?
Yeah, and yep, took her into the delivery room. So I followed her on the bed straight into the room, and they're like, you know, she's super dilated, and this baby's coming any minute. So yeah, it was so fast because Farron took like, I don't know, 9 hours or something. It was yeah. like,
and that's not unusual for first kid yeah. labor.
It was like 2 a.m. to mid afternoon, late afternoon. But I think it was like 30 minutes since the time we got to the hospital, they broke her water and the baby came. It was just like pop, pop, real fast.
Wow.
Katie was determined that this time she was going to ask for what is it, Pitocin?
An epidural.
Yeah, oh. Epidural. And they were like, no, you can't have it, sorry, you're way too
late.
Far.
Yeah.
It's way too late at this point.
So they told her next child she should probably just spend her last trimester at the hospital because it's gonna be real
instant birth.
Yeah,
love it. Congratulations, that's fantastic.
Oh. Yeah, it was quite the adventure. And apparently they were just starting to let spouses in with their wives.
Well,
so,
good timing.
Yeah.
Holding off on that for one day.
Yeah. So give us all the breakdown, name and weight and all that.
Yeah. So her name is Gwen, because that was the only name we could both agree on. And then her middle name is Ellen, after my mother's middle name. Farron's middle name is Jean, after Katie and Katie's mom. They have 4 generations of genes. And then...
the traveling pants? No.
Yeah, yeah. She was 6 pounds, 15 ounces, and 20 inches, 20 and a quarter inches, something like that. So a long, thin stick baby.
Stick baby!
Yeah.
The main question we all want to know is, how much like the child does she look? like.
Since we're recording this on May the 4th.
Yeah, baby Yoda.
She doesn't actually look like Yoda that much because she has to grow into her ears. They're currently like taped against the side of her head. They'll flare out as time goes on if Farron's anything to.
Does she have more hair than Farron?
She does, but Farron had more hair when she first came and then lost it and had to start over. So we're thinking she might be blonde, but we don't know.
Very cool.
Well, exciting. Congratulations. Yeah.
It's very exciting. She's been a really good baby. I mean, she keeps waking us up at night, but...
it's a baby's job.
Yeah, she doesn't need very much burping or, like... any of the normal stuff. She hasn't spit up at all, which is just weird.
It's coming.
Yeah. And how's Katie?
Yeah, Katie's been doing well. The first couple nights were kind of rough, but Gwen is sleeping a little bit better, so Katie's sleeping a little better. And it helps that I have paternity leave, so I can help her out and let her take some naps during the day as I watch the crazy kid and Gwen.
Oh, very nice. So glad for you guys. Glad to hear everybody's doing well. Been praying for you guys. Super glad to have baby Gwen with us.
And Ryan, may the 4th be with you all.
Yes, it has been. It's been a great 4th.
Maybe the best. Maybe not the best Cinco de Mayo, though. That was going to be a pretty epic Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
I guess she's already here, so it still counts. You can have baby tacos. Right. Nope, that sounded wrong.
No baby tacos.
Well, go enjoy some rest, play some games sometime maybe, and good talking to you, man.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Ryan, thanks for jumping on for a little bit.
Yeah, it was good to talk to you guys.
All right, have a good night.
All right,
or daytime, whatever time. bye. All right, cool. So should we talk about some games that we've been playing? Or are we saving that? Are we saving that for the end?
Saving that for the end. Why don't we move into our shout out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by McClay's Games. Their game, Sea of Nadia, is coming to Kickstarter on May 11th. And Will and Sarah have actually gotten a chance to play this one.
Yeah, why don't we talk about it as we jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about three games coming to Kickstarter the week of May 11th, 2020. Will, let's start off with Sea of Nadia.
I was going to say, do you throw that to Kevin still?
Nope, throwing it to you.
What's the practice there?
I mean, I was going to throw it to myself, but we've both played it, so I thought I'd throw it to you.
Makes sense. All right, well, cool. Sea of Nadia is a 2-4 player pickup and delivery game for the most part. There's a couple other mechanics in there. It's got a very cool maritime. Is that how you say that?
Maritime. Pirate theme,
yeah. In the game, you will be controlling your vessel. I don't know. You're a captain, and each of the captains have their own unique player powers. And you'll be moving around the board based on some die rolls. And all the dice have a... I don't know if they all have... Every side has a number plus a symbol.
So there's some that are just numbers.
Okay. But you've got some randomly assigned tiles on the board that match those symbols. And so when you roll the dice, you roll all the dice. And then you pick which one you're going to keep. And then you give the other dice to the other players. And the reason that it's not just an obvious, like, oh, I rolled a 4. I want to keep the 4. Sometimes those symbols will be good things that they'll add to your turn. Like maybe it allows you to get a free bottle with goods in it. Or sometimes it might be bad. If it has this symbol on it, it costs you 2 action points to be able to move, type of thing. But basically, you are trying to move around the board and collect very specific colored loot. Is it loot? What are you picking up?
Yeah, it's loot.
And once you have enough of a specific color, then you, and you may have to backtrack to do this, you don't know, but on all the islands on the map, there are also treasure chests, and so in order to pick up like a treasure chest, which is the best treasure chest and probably has the best loot inside, you have to have like a yellow, a red, a white, and a blue tile that you've already picked up that you then cash in to get those tiles.
Yep, and in the game, like he said, there are, everyone has their own different player power. Those tiles that they sit in the corner and they correspond to the actions on the dice. Those are interchangeable every game, so it shakes it up a little bit, and you can have different things happening for each game. So interested to see how this one does on Kickstarter. It's got really great looking artwork, and it's got simple but thinky gameplay.
Yeah, I thought it looked fun on the table. First off, I liked the components. I think we had probably like 3D printed components, mm-hmm. but yep. all the little tokens and the loot bottles that you get, we had. And I don't know what the final pieces will look like, but like your player board has a little slot where everything kind of tucks in. So any, when I'm talking about bottles, it's like the kind of bottle you would write a note on and toss it into the ocean type of thing, but mm-hmm. as a token or a flat plastic piece. And then that like fits into your player board, which is cool. So everything fit together really nice. It looked really sharp. The gameplay, like I'm not a huge pickup and delivery fan most times, but I felt like this had a pretty nice family weight to it. Maybe mm-hmm. a little bit more strategic than, I mean, like our kids could have handled it. I don't know about every kid, but and felt like it had a lot of fun stuff going on. So yeah, Steve, Nadia, check that one out.
That's from McClay's Games.
Yeah, our sponsor for the episode.
Yep,
Kevin, what are you looking at?
So on May 12th, Mythic Games is launching Hell, the Last Saga. This is H-E-L, not H-E-L-L, and this
is
a
way better.
Yeah, this is a game for 2 to 4 players. Takes about 1 to 2 hours to play. And this is a Viking-themed game, a survival semi-co-op game, where sort of the story background is that the Vikings had sent this first expedition to settle and found a new colony. And a few months later, they sent a second expedition out there. Well, when the second expedition came to where the colony was, like, there was nobody left. Like, everyone had died off, and all they found was, like, their ship. So basically...
Oh, it's like Roatan.
Right? This new small band of survivors, they're arriving hungry and exhausted, and they're basically trying to survive, and they're trying... They each have... Each player has their own background and secret motives, and it's sort of semi-co-op. There's dangers, cold, hunger, threats that are going on, and it's a highly narrative game. There's chapters that you're going to be reading according to what the players are accomplishing in the game. There's exploration. There's a little bit of combat, some resource management. So with the storytelling and all the background stuff, there's lots of replayability. And especially if you fail a mission. So this is coming from the same team that created the Smog Rise of Moloch game from Come On a few years ago.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of weight to the design team. And Mythic Games usually does pretty good with not only their games, but of course their miniatures. And it looks like, this is not 100%, but it looks like we will have... a promo with Hell, the Last Saga for our Kickstarter campaign, depending on when we decide to launch, maybe end of May 19th, maybe?
Keep hanging on, everybody.
Throwing dates out there now?
Throwing maybe. Dates out there.
What? Tossing them out.
Just tossing them out. Just look forward to Kickstarter from Tantrum House soon, and there's a Mythic promo coming from them, too. It might be my head on a stake.
What?
The mini. This might be our first mini. This might be like we've broken into a new world of promotional pieces of awesomeness.
we've had cards. We've had wooden tokens from Stonemaier Games. Now we're going to plastic miniatures.
What's left? Boards? Full on promo board.
Full board games for Tantrum House. There we go.
I feel like this could exist.
There you go. Melissa, what do you have?
Well, on May 12th, Horrible Guild is bringing Railroad Inc. Challenge. So this is similar to Railroad Inc., which is a roll and write game for 1 to 4 players. Plays in about 20-30 minutes. And this is the next addition, I guess. The challenge brings new things to the game. So... Not only are you rolling your dice and drawing your routes, but now there's some player interaction because there are goal cards. And these are the type of achievements where the first person to achieve this goal gets the points. So it's a little bit of a race to get those achievement cards. And each game, you're going to have different sets of goals. So there'll be different. They kind of swap in and out for each game. Also, the dice are going to have even more types of routes that you're drawing. So they say, draw unprecedented mind-bending route configurations.
Nice.
If it wasn't mind-bending enough already.
Right.
I'm up for the challenge.
And there are structures that you can connect to with your routes, and if you connect to a structure, it's going to have an effect during the game. Like, factories allow you to duplicate a die, and villages give you bonus points if they're close to a station, and things like that. Now, just like the regular Railroad Inc., there are going to be two different boxes that are different colors. Mm-hmm. We have lush green and shining yellow. And they each are going to have a separate little mini expansion that comes with a special die, just like in the red and the blue editions, where one is, I think the blue is lakes and the red is volcanoes. Mm-hmm. So you can decide if you like a certain color or theme for Railroad Inc. Challenge, whether deserts with cacti or more of the green version with the lush, which is having
forests. What do you think?
Placid forest landscapes.
That's what I would have guessed.
To build a beautiful arboreal paradise.
There we go. Mm. Thanks, Melissa.
Yes. Thanks, BGG. So that is Railroad Inc. Challenges, lush green and shining yellow.
From Horrible Guild.
Yes. I think that's all of our Kickstarters.
That wraps up our Kickstarter conniption. So but, Melissa so go for it.
I was going to say, talking about BGG, they just released their awards.
Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started.
Oh, I am very happy for Elizabeth Hargrave and for Jamie and the team at Stonemaier Games. It's great that people have rallied behind Wingspan. I know Kevin may have a different opinion.
Oh, no, I love Wingspan.
Wingspan
won our 2019 Board Game of the Year for Tantrum House. So, I mean, we agree. Wingspan is an amazing game.
Right, pretty much
it shouldn't win every single category.
Yeah, it's Family Game of the Year and Strategy Game of the Year. Usually those are different types
pretty
of
different
games.
Things.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's not family. It's not a family game, and it doesn't have strategy to it. I just feel that they're better strategy games, and I would even say there's better family games. Like we said, Tiny Towns. Tiny Towns is a great family game. I think it's even better family game than Wingspan. I think Wingspan is our Board Game of the Year. And of course, it's going to fit all these different categories. We just think that other games should get recognition too.
So if you're listening and you haven't watched our House Awards, we have that on YouTube. And we had several different categories, and we did not have any repeat winners.
Yeah. I think, Will, going back to our award show, I think you are right. When you are doing an award show middle of the year like we did, you need to name it the 2020 award show, because I don't think YouTube can, like, the algorithm, it thinks it's an old video. So that video isn't getting enough hits.
Duh.
Yep. So I think you were right. Because I think last year when we did our 2018 Board Game of the Year, it was in January, so it was like hot off the press. It was close to 2018, it got like almost 5,000 hits. This one's not getting like hardly anything. But anyway.
Check it out, peoples.
Yeah, check out our video. It's cool. We had lots of content creators join us, and we think it's something special. So.
Yeah, it was super fun to put together, and just a blast to be able to team up with so many people and to represent so many games. I don't really have anything against, obviously Board Game Geek's voting is based on people's choice, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's huge that many people would go out of the way to vote for Wingspan in all those categories. That's craziness. Blows my mind.
Yep.
Gotta love the people.
Yeah, I was going to say, Melissa and I were able to play another live video on Facebook last weekend.
Yeah.
And you remember the story from last episode about Turner Taxis, which will never live down.
Yeah.
It will live on in infamy.
The betrayal.
The sweep the leg, no mercy, Turner Taxis. Right. where Kevin got -1 point and Melissa killed him. We decided, you know, why not be Kevin, have a glutton for punishment, and go back and do some more live videos on Facebook. Well, we decided, why don't we play Silver and Gold from Panosaurus? And since it's a pretty short game, why don't we play Silver from Bezier Games as well? You know, they're two games that aren't
really thematic.
Yeah, that are sort of thematic in their titles, not in their gameplay. Right. So anyway, we're playing Silver and Gold and having a great time. And
so I'm filling in my little cards. If you're not familiar with the game, you flip different Tetris-like shapes, and then you draw them onto your card to fill in islands to complete the card and get points. And I'd be like, oh, if this L-shape flipped next, that would be awesome. I'd be able to finish this card.
You wouldn't believe what flipped next. The L-shape.
And then the L-shape flips. And this happened probably about four or
at
five
least
times.
Four or five times. And the game only has like four rounds, and you're only flipping like a few cards each round.
Yep.
I'm like, why is it every time Melissa needs a certain shape to flip over, it's the right one?
I will say, though, at
was
the,
she using magic?
I don't know, but anyway, the end of round three, she was killing me. I was like, come on, I need like round four to be my round. And I will say round four was my round. I was able to come back, and it wasn't a blowout. I think the final score was 122, and Melissa had 124. So it was only a difference of 2 points. I didn't feel too bad. But the beginning of the game, I felt that she was going to kill me by at least 50 points.
But my luck sort of tapered off at the end.
Totally did.
Because the very last card, I needed a specific shape to flip, and you take out one card at the beginning of each round. And if that one shape had flipped, I would have finished a card and gotten 16 more points.
Yeah,
so we're like, okay, is it the T? Is it the T? It needs to be the T. We flip it over. It's the square. The T was the one that had been taken out.
It was amazing. It was an amazing end of the game. I felt vindicated.
Oof, I just want to say, Kevin, I seem to remember playing a live video of, or a recorded live video of the Grim Masquerade, where you had shuffled cards and passed them out.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, people kept getting the same identity every single game.
Oh, yeah, I did that so on purpose for fun. That game was amazing.
The sleight of hand that was going on.
In Silver and Gold, I let Melissa pick out the card that was randomly.
Okay, so that was the issue. You couldn't mix them.
Yeah, that's what all magicians say. You couldn't mix them in a way that
let you get what you needed.
Yeah, if you ever let me just hold the cards and let me do the cards, I'm not saying whether or not I cheated or not. I mean, that's your fault for letting me hold on to the cards.
Never let the magicians shuffle and deal.
Yes, you let me shuffle as long as you cut and deal. That's fine. But anyway, so then we played Silver. And we
decided to play two rounds.
Instead of four. So we'll just do two rounds. So the first round, I was able to get only one card left in my tableau, and it was the zero card face down. Melissa had no idea. And so I had 0 points, and Melissa had like, and she did pretty well too. So I think she had like 6 points or something like that, maybe 12. And then we played round two, and I was doing pretty well in round two. I only had 3 cards left. Melissa still had 5 cards
Everyone's
left.
Like, Kevin, yeah, Kevin's going to be vindicated.
Kevin, you need to call it now. So I'm like, oh, I have 3 cards left. I have probably like maybe 12 points or something like that. And I was like, that's pretty good for 3 cards. And Melissa, that's 5 cards. So she probably has at least more than 12, right?
Right.
Yep.
So I said, I'm going to call it. And she's like, okay. So she comes back and she goes, all three of these cards are the same. And so she gets rid of like 12 points and she only has 2 cards left at the end and basically beats me by a couple points.
Because he called and didn't beat me, so he had to count 20 points.
Yeah, I had like 10 cards. Yeah, 10 plus 10. So, yeah.
So I won both of them.
But, oh, man, I'm glad that first round of Silver went so good. So I just think about that first round. I don't care about the second round.
We played Arboretum on Renegades Channel on Facebook.
Oh, cool.
On Wednesday, which was right after being up all night with going to the hospital.
Right. And
we were like, we had played a couple rounds the night before just to get a refresher and like see how cutthroat we're going to be on camera.
Yeah,
which you can be pretty cutthroat.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still not 100% sure that I had played it before. Like, I know we saw it, some people did reviews, I definitely looked at it. I don't remember it being, if I did play it, I don't remember being nearly as cutthroat as I made it when we played.
Yeah. It, like, there was so much hate drafting and, like, oh, just as mean as you can get in that game. It was happening.
Well, not the live one, though. This was, like, the night before. And I'm pretty sure, like, I was one card away from Sarah not scoring at all.
Because yes.
In the game, you have to, you're building out your tableau, your forest of cards, of trees. And at the end of the game, you can only score your connected trees if you have the highest valued tree. Well, if you have it in your hand, period. And then, yeah, you have to have the highest one to be able to score it. And so early on in the game, she, like, started laying blue spruces. And I was like, ah, I guess I'll just hold on to this seven. And then she started laying some cherry blossoms. And I was like, ah, I got the six. I guess I'll hold on to it. And then, like, at the end of the game, I was like, I don't really know how many points I got, but I'm pretty sure she's not getting any points.
Oh, man.
So we got to the live, and I was like, oh, man. We had both drank, like, a pot of coffee because we got, like, 2 hours of sleep. And we're like, okay, we're going to do this really well, which I don't – I think Will didn't get quite the cards he was hoping for and used a different strategy than he had used the night before. And we had the worldwide events happening.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Completely,
so you don't really know what those are going to be.
Yeah, there were things coming up that we weren't anticipating. So you just had to, you know, try and adjust your strategy midway. So I was able to pull it out in the end, which was pretty great.
By 1 point.
By
though.
1 point.
1 point. Cool. It was a real tight one. I actually thought I had it. I was like, I think I won this one as well. I wish I had one more card in my hand. But did you end it? I think you ended it.
I ended it,
If I had one more turn.
Yep.
Would have had it.
Speaking of Renegade, Melissa and I will be playing Fuse on their Worldwide Play Day on Wednesday. This is in the past, so you can go back and check their Facebook page. This is a real-time dice rolling, dice placing game.
Cooperative, so we're playing together
this time.
Yeah,
we're going to play together. I've actually never played it, but it plays in 10 minutes. There's a 10-minute timer. You start the timer, and you basically have 10 minutes to beat the game. And it seems pretty frantic. We just actually got the game in the mail. I've never played it, so I'm excited to play it tonight and then play it again on Wednesday.
And do real-time math on camera live.
Yep. Yeah. While the Worldwide Play Day events come at the same time. I'm not sure how this is going to happen. Anyway, we'll have fun with it. It'll be good. And then on Friday, we will be doing a live play with AEG. They're going to be live streaming Space Base.
Oh, good.
And that's something that you can check back that's already done by the time you hear this episode. That'll be on AEG's Facebook page. I'm excited about that. And Space Base is one of my favorite games. I don't know where it ranks in my top 100. It's probably in my top 30 somewhere. I'm just not exactly sure. Still working on that. Mm-hmm. So
good to hear. Well, cool. Why don't we break away from this for a moment and welcome to the house Mike Davis for another Mad Meeple segment.
Mike Davis is the Mad Meeple. Now it's time for why he loves it and hates it.
Hello, this is Mike Davis from the Game and Party Podcast, and this is the Mad Meeple segment. Today we talk about the game Quirky Circuits. Quirky Circuits plays from 2 to 4 players in about 15 to 30 minutes, is for ages 7 and up, and is published by Plaid Hat Games. And now I'd like to share with you why I love this game. The first reason I love Quirky Circuits is the cute little animals in the game. They could have gone with just some square robots, but they make a cute little cat riding a Roomba and a little bee. It's great. And they're also great for painting. The second reason I love Quirky Circuits is it's a programming game, but it's not too complex. Some programming games can be a little overwhelming, but this one is great, even for younger kids. And the third reason I love Quirky Circuits is the book has lots and lots of levels in it. And you can go from the simplest level at the beginning to very complex levels near the end of the book. So you can play with anybody at any level. And now I'd like to share with you why I hate this game. The first reason I hate Quirky Circuits is orientation matters. You may be thinking that you're playing a turn that's going to turn you right where you need to be, but you play a left turn instead of a right turn because the robot's facing the other direction. Too bad. The second reason I hate Quirky Circuits is if someone just does not understand programming and programming games, and you try to play this with them, it's just going to be frustrating for them, and they're going to feel bad. And the third reason I hate Quirky Circuits is, if someone plays the wrong card at the beginning and you have 10 cards in a row, it is just chaos. Which can be funny if you don't take the game too seriously. So, don't take it too seriously. Have fun. And that's it, guys. That's why I love and why I hate Quirky Circuits. You've been listening to the Mad Meeple, Mike Davis.
I always appreciate Mike's take on games. He always brings a great perspective with the plus and the minus of things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that has been a plus for us this past week is we had another opportunity to play Hues and Cues from the Op.
Yeah. This one, we tried to challenge ourselves the last round and not do any clues that use food.
Or
and
that was, were like specific obvious color names was really my goal.
Yeah, because
like
you're allowed
lilac
to.
Or,
right.
Yes, you're allowed to use clues like that, like lavender or chartreuse. Or,
right, you're allowed to, but you try to stay away from it?
We tried to challenge ourselves not to, really difficult.
Like, I use Yoshi as an example.
Yeah. Exactly. That was really, I was like, we can have some more fun with this, I think, if we avoid just saying,
I agree.
Like,
I think that's where, like, the creativity comes out. It's like, if you can think of, like, pop culture references, or, like, if I said TARDIS, what color would you go to?
Yeah, I think we busted out Barbie as one of them, which was a perfect and obvious clue.
Okay.
Barbie pink is actually a patented color.
Is it really?
Oh, yes.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is a color that Pantone has a color for, but it is not in their books because it is copyrighted.
Oh, you could use like Baby Yoda. You know, you could do some fun things. So
yeah,
we had a good time. It was fun. It was like a very spur of the moment type of thing too. We had some friends that we hadn't talked to in a while, and it was like late at night, and we were like, "Do you guys?"
Let's just play this game.
Had they played it before?
No.
Did you like make the same restrictions on them too?
Well, just in the final round for them. Oh, so I was trying to do it throughout the course of the game just myself. And then I was like, okay, last round. What do you guys think about trying this? And everybody was, yeah, let's give it a shot, see what we can do. So
yeah, it was fun playing with them. He does a lot of videography and photography work, so he knows a lot about color. And she
he wanted to calibrate my screen.
Yep,
that's awesome.
And then she used to work for an art department for a university, so also very much in the know about color. So yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, fun conversation.
I'm guessing you guys are going to work on a video review coming up soon.
Yeah,
yes,
I think so.
We will.
Sounds good.
That was good.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It reminds me of like a mix of code names and Pantone.
Yep.
So.
Yes. Yep. Very much so. Have you guys played anything fun this week?
Like we said, we played the silver and gold and silver, and we played some games from Amigo. They sent us a whole box of games, and there's games like No Thanks, which are pretty. It's a pretty old, an older title, and then Take Five, and then there's a new game that sort of goes with Take Five called Take a Number. Basically, it's you have cards in your hand and you're basically playing cards into the middle of table that have different tableaus and you're trying to basically not take cards. It's basically the gist of the thing. And the way that they come out and what columns you put them out and where you put them in your own tableau, it's definitely a fun thinky game. I want to definitely play with a higher player count. Some of these play up to 10 players. I think the No Thanks is 3 to 7 and the Take Five is like 3 to 10 or something, or 2 to 10 or something like that. So I would like to play with more players. Not 10 players, but like maybe like 5 or 6.
Yeah, they remind me a little bit of classic card games, but with a twist.
Yeah, definitely. So
that's cool. That's always the kind I'm looking for. Like, give me the stuff that feels familiar, has a little of that nostalgia to it, but also is very original and feels fresh. I love those kind of experiences. We've been having all kinds of fun playing a lot of games, primarily Kickstarter or games that are coming to Kickstarter. So lots of prototypes recently. Mm-hmm. We'll be putting videos out on those in the future, and I'll be talking about them more in depth in future episodes because they're not launching just yet, just like our Kickstarter. But we will definitely keep you guys abreast to our plans. We are definitely pushing for trying to really finalize everything on our side. So that we can kind of give you guys the word and then launch. And
we're thinking May 19th. I don't know if that's still the goal or not, but
keep an eye out for it on that date.
Yeah.
And if not, there'll at least be an announcement about when we are doing it. So,
all right.
Yeah.
We super appreciate you guys listening in. I hope you're doing well, staying healthy, and having fun. And we'll hopefully catch you in the next episode.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.